Fear no more the heat o' the sun. Written by Birds of Passage. Read by Quetzalcoatl, an anonymous Sioux. Fandom, Genshin Impact. Summary. It goes like this. You want to see your friend smile. You want to see him smile. But even though the humans think that you live long enough to see forever, it is an undeniable fact that no mere stone can outlive the universe. You remember the first time you feel. The world is cold and solid around you, the plates of earth singing their low, solemn songs. You learn how to differentiate between limestone and sandstone and bedrock, tunneling your way through the darkness with nothing but your claws to dig with. There are insects below ground, burrowing animals, the spindly roots of hardy sandbearer trees. You learn them all. What else is there to do? Gradually, you grow, absorbing the weak amounts of energy from all around you. The earth holds you within her arms like a familiar embrace, and you sink into it, understanding that you and it are one, after all. The earth whispers, "It is not yet time." You do not understand what it means, but you are only a spirit hidden beneath the crust, and you know that there are some things that you are not meant to understand. So you sleep. Dreamless, cradled in jade while the world lives on above you. You wake up sometime later. The earth smells different now. You are bigger, too. You can now break apart iron ores with a snap of your jaw, press apart the bedrock with your own sharp claws. When breaking geodes apart to feel the rough crystals within gets boring, you open your mouth, push in your abdomen, and hear yourself echo against the bedrock. You do it again and again, discovering how to change your pitch and singing as loud as you can, because you understand nothing, but you are content. One day, you hear the earth echo back. The sound comes from above, high rumbles and splintering cracks, different from the sounds you hear against solid rock and stone. You realize there is something out there, perhaps another spirit like you, above your head. You cry out again, deep bells ringing out into the corners of the land. Suddenly, the jade cradle you have slept in for a millennia seems all too small for your liking. You ask the crystals and laptides and jades, and they tell you that there is a world out there to be seen. It fuels you on as you stamp your feet and sing your prayers. Eventually, you get out. Or rather, something draws you out. You crawl towards it, seeking that warm sensation that you haven't felt before. It tingles your scales, sets your instincts alight. Something lifts you up. Exposed, you curl into yourself, wary. But the new cradle beneath you is warm, solid yet gentle, and you lean into the touch with a happiness that you haven't felt before. "Hello there," a voice murmurs. And it is different from the earth's voice, yet just as firm. It seems that fate has brought us together. Morax builds you a body and bestows you with eyes the color of the sun. He gives you a name, Ashdaha, and gradually you begin to grow accustomed to the overworld. Guizhong brings you flowers and little contraptions, and no less than 4 times have you accidentally trodden and broken them into air-parable fragments. You apologize profusely, but the goddess of dust simply laughs and pats your nose, reassuring you that it is okay. Ganyu comes to play by climbing onto your back, much to the concern of the other adepti. She's a sweet little thing, rotund and cheerful. You spend many hours basking in the sun as she plucks the prettiest leaves from your tail. One time you visit the shoreline, and the overlord of the vortex pays you a visit out of curiosity. He laughs like the cackling of dragons, amused by Morax's design preferences when you say that he was the one who made you this body. But perhaps the moments that you treasure most of all are the ones met around Morax himself, who works tirelessly during the day to meet the needs of his people, and comes to nap under the shade of your tail when the sun melts away in the distance. "You have worked hard, my lord," you say softly, a pleasant rumble stirring the trees. And Morax looks up at you with that same gentleness that you saw when you first opened your eyes centuries ago. "It is what I must do for my people." He looks back towards the Guili assembly, sighing fondly at the sight of Gui Zhang playing Jiangji with the kids. "The people love you." "They love you too," Morax replies, lazily folding his arms. "Though they never say it. But they think you are a calming, gentle presence." You feel warm in your chest. The geo-god falls asleep against your side, and you rest your mighty head next to him, eventually dozing off as well. The Archon War arrives, and you watch as Gui Zhang succumbs to her wounds. The Yakshas drop like flies and realize that Osayo no longer resurfaces whenever you visit the shore. "My dear friend," Morax says, with lines of fatigue etched into his face. He touches your scales as if he is scared of you crumbling to dust as well. "You are still here." "I am still here," you rumble back, drenched in divine blood. Morax no longer takes naps by your side. Those moments where he lets down his stone-cold facade around you are as much rest as he will allow himself to have now, anyways. When the war is over, the Guili assembly leaves the plains. The dust that chokes the land leaves the ground dead and dry. The land down south is not much better for farming, so the people resort to mining. At first, it was for coal, stone, ores, daily necessities. But it became inevitable that the humans started to chip away at the ley lines as trade expanded and impractical things took on unreasonable value. Day by day, you feel the dull ache of the earth resound within your body. You are, after all, made from it. Memories become foggy, and when a human comes up to you asking something, you almost crush them against a boulder before realizing what you're doing. You want to tell Morax that you are hurting, but you see the way he looks at the people, like they are the last thing keeping him going, and you decide to stay silent. "My old friend," he says, tired. "Protect them with me, will you?" The sun shines high above your heads. You have both lost many things, and yet the world continues to turn. It goes like this. You want to see your friend smile. You want to see him smile. But even though the humans think that you live long enough to live forever, it is an undeniable fact that no mere stone can outlive the universe. Around and around and around circles the earth orbiting the sun. You want to see Morax smile, But as the ley lines scream in agony and you feel your mind fracturing around the edges like brittle sand, the idea of losing the things you love, of falling until you feel nothing, scares you. It is a cloudy day when you finally fall into despair. "The humans do not deserve us," you roar, breaking open the clouds to send rain tumbling to the ground. "They do not deserve you. Only I deserve you," goes unsaid. "Ashdaha," Morax thunders, "you have broken the contract." You do not care. You are so far gone that the pain becomes numb as you crush the mines under your feet, sweep away mountaintops with a fling of your tail. Unimaginable rage takes over your mind as the humans flee like ants into the canopy of the Geo-Archon's protection. A pair of dark hands descend from the heavens, Morax floating between them like a star in the sky. He commands celestial bodies to hurtle down towards you, and you cry out as he strikes you, again and again and again. A small part of your mind wants to stop this. "It is sacrilege to turn against him," you tell yourself. Somewhere along the line, Morax ends up beneath your feet, shattered stone debris fallen everywhere around Natiamen. His eyes are wide and bright, hotter than the core of the earth, more alive than you will ever feel. "Crush him like an insect," a voice tells you. "Kill him, kill him, he is the source of the pain." "Ashdaha," Morax says quietly. "Perhaps this is fate. And you cannot bring yourself to do it." But Morax does not hesitate to take the opportunity, spearing you through the shoulder and maiming you to the ground. As you screech in pain and betrayal, the ground sinks around you and pillars erupt from the earth to trap you within. Before Morax seals your tomb, he looks at you one final time. There is little light left in his eyes, and you cannot find anything within them except cold, detached emptiness. Then, the final stone is put into place. You spend the next 3,000 years searching the ground for a bit of sun. It is your fault, you soon come to realize. You never wanted any of this, but as much as you want to blame Morax, blame the gods, blame fate, a small voice inside you tells you that you have brought this upon yourself. The earth spins, day after day, and you're stuck in place while the world moves on without you. Sometimes you open your eyes and lie still enough to hear the leaves falling above you. Sometimes you open your eyes, awake, and wish that you did not breach the surface at all. The stone is cool against your fingertips, but the flash of pain that shakes your very core strikes as hot as lightning. "Hey," Paimon floats up towards you. "What's wrong?" You gather your wits. "Just a bit lightheaded. It's past, nothing to worry about." The traveler asks you if you saw anything, and you want to tell him you saw everything. You saw the rise and fall of gods slain by spears of stone. You saw black mist spread across the land as the heavens turned the earth into a gladiator's ring. You saw times of peace and times of war. And, perhaps most importantly, you once saw the sun. And the sun had gazed up back at you, warm and gentle, cold and empty. "Not yet," you say, instead. The traveler stares back at you, an indecipherable look in his age-weary eyes. On this site lies an evil dragon. The stone tablet reads. You know that Morax does not think truly of you that way, but it sends a stab through your heart anyways. You never wanted Morax to see this part of you, bared out like a raw flesh wound, but Dil hisses as she staggers from within the seals, and it is the most wretched sight you have ever seen. You want to be angry at her for thinking that she can crush the sun beneath her feet, but you know that if you hate her so much, then she must hate herself even more. All powers under heaven rise and fall of land and sea. You begin, and Zeal stiffens. A star appears in the wild, she mutters, seemingly entranced. A sun ascends, as bright as jade. The earth creaks one last revolution. No! Zeal croaks out, and Morax winces beside you. I don't accept this as fate. Perhaps it is not fate, you tell yourself gently, and feel Morax brush his fingers against yours. You grab them. But still it remains an inevitable misfortune. And that name that falls from your lips as that part of you fades away. While Morax slides his hand into yours, you know, deep down, that you do not deserve him, after all. What have I become? My sweetest friend, everyone I know, goes away in the end. The end.